The scripture is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
On this beautiful, silent, holy night, I invite you to join together in a time of prayer. Would you join me in the prayer of adoration? Loving God, on this holy night, you gave us our Savior, the Lord of the universe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. On this holy night, draw us into the mystery of your love. Join our voices with the heavenly host, that we may sing of your splendor. Give us a place among the shepherds, that we may find the one for whom we have waited, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah and Lord.
Our next scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. The birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next scripture is from Luke in the second chapter. It describes the birth of Jesus, but earlier in the chapter, Mary sings a song. It's called the Magnificat, and she says, all the great things God is doing for his people. Hear now these words from the book of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of God. I'd like to tell you a story. We're going to get into our Wayback Machine and go back into the 1940s. The setting is World War II Europe, and a group of soldiers are grieving and trying to find a place to bury their fallen friend. Nearby is a small church with a graveyard, and they decide that would be a fine place for their friend's final resting place. They approach the parish priest and ask if he can lay their friend to rest in the graveyard. "Was he Catholic?" asked the priest. "No, he was not." "Well, I'm truly sorry, but the graveyard is reserved for the people of faith." The priest paused and continued, obviously worried. "But you can bury your friend outside the fence, and I will see that his grave is well cared for." The soldiers thanked them, and they buried their friend just on the other side of the fence. After the war, before the group of friends was to go home, they decided to visit the gravesite of their fallen friend. They remembered the location of the church and where they had buried him, just outside the fence. However, when they went to look for the grave, they could not find it. And finally, they went into the priest and they asked for him to lead them to their friend's final resting place. And the priest led the friends out to the graveyard and pointed to a spot in the far corner. He said, "After we buried your friend, it just didn't seem right to me that he should be left out there outside the fence." "So you moved the grave?" one friend asked. "No, I moved the fence." In Jesus' day, there was a long list of people who were outside the fence. And the Pharisees and other religious elites spent their whole lives keeping the law of Moses and the thousands of corollaries to make sure that they were in. In contrast, Jesus seemed to make a point of doing things that put him outside the boundaries of what was considered acceptable. Jesus ignored the claim that healing people on the Sabbath would make God angry. He constantly ate and associated with sinners, tax collectors, even prostitutes, definitely people who were deemed outside the boundaries of decency. And often Jesus did these things in the most public way imaginable. He also publicly criticized the Pharisees and other religious leaders and railed against their temple money-grabbing scams by overturning the moneylender's table in the temple, saying, "My Father's house is supposed to be a place of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." You know, I don't think that Jesus would have done so well in Washington, D.C., or New York City, or Chicago, or L.A., or anywhere else where the dress for success mentality dominated the culture. You see, Jesus saw success quite differently. And he insisted that it meant that everyone had a place inside the fence, a chance to be transformed from the inside out and so receive mercy and justice and become the conduit of mercy and justice for others. Mary's song that I talked about, called the Magnificat, is a hymn of hope that this will happen. It's a song to those who are considered outside the fence, that they will be inside. And conversely, some people whom society said were at the top will have to get back in line with everyone else. Those who already have more than enough will no longer monopolize most of the resources. And Mary sings these words that God has scattered the proud, that God has brought down the powerful from their thrones, that God has sent the rich away empty because they already have enough. They don't need any more. God is not against achievement God is against gluttony and greed. God is not against being rewarded for hard work. God is against poverty and violence. Conversely, Mary sings that God has lifted up the lowly and filled the hungry with good things. Why? Because they need help. For every person that you can point to that is lazy and wants a quick handout, Jesus points to thousands who are in need and yet work hard. They plant crops and droughts come. They come home from serving in the armed forces, Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, and their bodies and spirits are broken, and they need help. They are children of abusive parents who do not provide for them. And so Mary sings ecstatically, God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise that he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Mary lifts up her voice because this unlikely Messiah, this little baby, is not going to judge us as the world judges us, by what we look like, or the color of our skin, or our nationality, or our gender, or how socially, politically, or financially powerful we are, because God doesn't care about these things. God's intention is that we all belong inside the fence. We all get justice and mercy and receive the blessings of peace and joy. At this beautiful time of year, God asks you to remember to act beautifully by remembering to include all God's children in your thoughts, actions, and prayers, especially those who are not considered insiders, the hungry, the homeless shut in and lonely, the sick and dying, those who are victims of violence or discrimination, crime, and war, those who have made unfortunate life choices and find themselves destitute, those living and trying to raise a family in what we call the third world. God only has one world, and God loves all of it. Remember, Jesus himself was born into a poor family in an oppressed culture, and as the children's Christmas hymn reminds us, had no place to lay his head that first Christmas. Continue to do the incredible things you are doing by working together to feed people through your support of the feeding programs and pantries, for giving teachers and kids a step up when you support Northview Elementary and other schools, visiting the sick and shut-ins and upholding those who are grieving, providing God's people with opportunities to worship God, and doing all the many things you do to support the church and do good in the world. This is exactly what the child lying in a manger is all about. Peace on earth. Joy to the world. Joy to the whole world. Amen.
This is from Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. It's about the shepherds and the angels. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it and were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to share one more scripture reading tonight from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, the peaceful kingdom. So once again, I invite you to hear these words from God's word tonight. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Once again, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Holy One, tonight you have given us a child who is like all human children, yet at the same time, unlike all others. Born of Mary, he is the hope of the earth and the joy of heaven. As we celebrate this holy night with carols and prayers, gifts and feasting, may we open our hearts to receive your Christ. Come, incarnate love, and rejuvenate us in body, in mind and spirit, until Christmas love spills over into every thought, every action, and every prayer. Amen.